Hello and welcome to another episode of another special episode of Tubs at the Club. For those that are watching live right now, I do want to reiterate that this is not the regular show. This is just the recap for the women's basketball team. Our regular show will be on Thursday night at 6:45 p.m. with Brian in Dallas. So if you don't want to listen, if you do want, please stay, please listen to us if you would like. But if you are looking for the men's basketball stuff, that will not be on this show. Now, after getting that wordy intro in, I am your host, Martin Heemstra, joined by Patrick. Patrick, how are you doing?
Doing lovely. We're on about day three or four of spring break for me. I got to leave a little early, which was nice, but we're dealing with a little bit of a cold, so I might sound a little bit crappy, but we're going to fight through, and we'll be all right.
I'm sure you could use that t-shirt of yours to wipe up all the boogers you have. They might get from this cold.
You're just lucky I turned the camera around so the Eastern flag isn't in here anymore, you bum.
Well, first off on the show, we're going to be talking about the game that happened yesterday. Obviously, we're doing the show on Tuesday, so that means the FanDuel women lost, sadly. They lost 73-61, 3-6 seed in the Big Sky Tournament to the Montana Grizz. I'm going to be honest with you right now. I didn't watch too much of the game. I was very much... I had work, so I was unfortunately able to make it to watch most of this game. I was able to catch a bit of the fourth quarter, so what I have is going to be a little skewed, and it's going to be a little sport. It's going to be a box watching, kind of box reacting, box reading as we go, so it'll be a little different. Kennedy Johnson led this team with scoring with 24 points, 9 rebounds, and really had another double-double. Sarah Schmidt, in her final game as a Vandal, had 14 points, 3 rebounds, and to round it out, the top three, the third score was Sarah Brands, 11 points, 2 rebounds. This game was not, it was not really close from the beginning at all. Kind of Montana, for the most part, Montana controlled the tempo, was able to keep it like a 15, 20 point game for, it was 10 point game almost for first quarter. And then kind of as things went on, it just kind of stayed that 15, 20 point game. And then the fourth quarter, Idaho did beat them in kind of, beat them air quotes, and scoring the fourth quarter 21-12 to make it kind of a closer game, kind of make it look a little better. Patrick, I know you've been on the shelf for a little bit. I'll let you talk right now if you have any thoughts about the game.
Yeah, it was very similar to the first game these teams played up in Bosco. It was kind of like the Grizz just dominated throughout, and then Idaho fought back, brought it within the single digits or within about 10, and then Montana just kind of outlasted them. You know, Montana's a really good team. They're, what, 3 seed? They're a great team, and they're a team that definitely had aspirations to go win this conference. They ended up losing today to NAU in the semifinals, but, you know, Montana's a really good team. They're a really good scoring team. They're a tough team to stop. You know, scoring 73 points is a very – you know, good total for them. And it's not like Idaho's this horrible defensive team, that's for sure. They're electric. They shoot the ball at a very high rate. And it's kind of what we saw in this one. They got out to a hot start. And then Idaho is just, you know, the offensive firepower hasn't been there this year for this women's team. And so, you know, they have their spurts, but they overall, they really don't get the offensive production they need to be, you know, a great Big Sky team. And that was just kind of the story of the year, and we kind of saw that in this one.
I agree with you on that, Patrick. The other one I kind of noticed was, like, they would kind of, like, Idaho had tried to play their game, and it obviously did not work. They're able to kind of keep, like you kind of said, they were able to kind of keep things close. They were able to kind of, I don't want to talk about this in the season recap in a couple minutes, but, like, they were able to keep things kind of close. For they were able to kind of at least kind of make it a more of a game, a little more respectable, not like a 25 point loss, only a 12 point loss. Now they were able to kind of bring things back and kind of keep things going. Kind of gives a positive look forward with the program going into year two with Coach Carey and me and her staff.
Yep, we got to remember it's year one of this coaching staff. Like I know Idaho women's basketball has been a very good program over the years, but we got to remember it's year one with a new coaching staff. The last coach
who got hired pretty late, exactly. late in the coaching cycle.
Yeah. And I mean, it was poor timing the way that everything went down with the newly firing and the Amy hiring. And so it really didn't give Coach Amy an amazing chance to do some very, you know, in-depth recruiting per se, if she was, you know, hired 2 months earlier, or at least, you know, brought in towards the end of the season or something like that. It would have been a much easier situation for her to bring in more talent overall. And so, you know, what this Vandal team was the sixth seed, and I'm perfectly fine with that. If I'm a Vandal fan, obviously you want to succeed better, but you just got to keep the lens of, hey, this is year one, similar to the men's team. This is year one. And obviously this year was, you know, the women's team was in a much better place than the men's team, but year one of a new coaching staff, it's hard to expect a Eastern Washington level of success right away. Go Eagles, but you know, it is year one. So, I mean, really looking forward, kind of as the season, for the season as a whole, I'll just go right into my kind of as a whole takeaway, because Martin's on a little bit of a hiatus here. Overall, kind of as I was hitting on, this year really wasn't disappointing per se. It was just slightly underwhelming from what we kind of had the expectations early after the out of conference. You know, you look at the out of conference and this team pulled off some big wins. You know, they lost a tough one to Cal Poly, but then they beat Cal Fullerton, they beat Hawaii, they beat Utah State. And I mean, obviously those teams looking back weren't the greatest teams of all time, but we were kind of looking at this, that played a competitive game against Hawaii, a competitive game against the Grand Canyon team. You know, it really looked like this women's team had a chance to be really, really good when you're looking at the out of conference. And then as the in conference kind of started, things tapered off a little bit, and we had a few, you know, the Sac State and Portland State game right away were pretty, you know, dominant wins. But then you get into conference play and Eastern Washington gives them kind of the business. They lose to Idaho State, they lose to Weber State, they lose to Northern Arizona, 4-game losing streak in there. And we kind of start to settle and realize where we really are in terms of, you know, the Big Sky, you know, the Big Sky, what's the word? Where they are talent wise in the Big Sky, and they clearly weren't number one. And so, I don't know if you're ready to jump in here, Martin, but you know,
I do kind of what you said so far. I do agree with it. It's looking at the season as a whole, kind of shifting focus to more of the focus of the season review now, like, and how things went. I would consider it a, I'm going to zoom out of this because producing on the fly here. Like, it was better than, I'd say it went, it was, actually it was about where I predicted them to be, because I have my media predictions right now, and if I can pull this up here, oh, it's not going to work, but I had Idaho predicted 6 and they finished 6, and I am happy about that. I didn't get that right, but like, it still was, I'm still going to, Jason says it's hard to lay blame, not to lay blame, some blame on injuries, but this team, like he says, like, they didn't show quit. And like, our, like, some of our Patreon, like our Discord members, patreon.com/tubs of the club, they, one of like the head, like, well, I think we'll talk about it in just a second, but like, as Martin Arnzen pointed, I kind of mentioned in the Discord earlier today, our hesitancy not to shoot when we were open was bad this year and caused even worse shot selection when the shot clock was expiring. And it's an easy thing to hopefully fix once things, you get it. It's not, it is a teachable moment and something that can, you can kind of work on with these players as the staff gets used to coach these players more into year two. And once Coach in the carry me gets her staff and her style of play into the sit, gets the players get more used to it.
Yeah. And part of the thing with the shot selection this year, I definitely think, like Jason was saying, part of the blame has to be on injuries. And Holt Patera's injury happened early in the year during, I think it was during the Big Sky Summit League, or no, it was the Chicago State game.
Yeah, it was our replacement for Western Illinois, just because, yeah, Western Illinois went to the Missouri Missouri Valley, whatever, wherever, OVC, wherever.
Yeah. And so I think that, yeah, OVC. But, you know, it just, when she went out, this team kind of had a weird moment right after Hope left. And with injuries, they rattled off four straight losses, a close win versus Northern Colorado, and then two more losses. It was really tough just because, one, they're trying to figure out what their kind of identity was without Hope, because they, having Hope in the middle there was big, one, for their rebounding, and two, it drew a lot of attention from, you know, helping guards and stuff like that. Hope was a player that teams had to double, and that led to open looks outside for players like, mm-hmm. An Ashlyn Wallace and a Sarah Brands.
Or even Kennedy Johnson to get more of those kind of,
exactly.
Not, I mean, say long twos, but like he also hit those mid-range jumpers or even those three-point plays. Because she, after the Hope injury and once they kind of found their footing again, like Kennedy was going in and crashing. She was trying to get every rebound she could to stop, to get every two. She was trying to get the rebound. She was going for it. Like, it was a noticeable difference kind of towards the end of the year, but like
there was a shift. It also led to them not being able to get out in transition nearly as much, just because they had to put so much emphasis on defensive rebounding when they had Hope in there. Like, Hope was taller than everyone, and she just kind of rebounded over people. And mm-hmm. so they could kind of cherry pick a little bit, and it led to a lot more looks in transition that they just didn't really get later in the year. And that's kind of where we start seeing this team, one, not take open looks, but two, getting in deep into the shot clock with no good looks really, and then just hucking something up at the end of the shot clock.
Oh yeah. Now we kind of went to this. Producing on the five, Patrick, what do you want to talk about now with the team, kind of comparing last year, first year?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk a little bit about kind of what like looking in the past and looking forward a little bit at the same time, kind of what do you expect the trajectory to be looking a little bit more forward if you compare it to, say, I don't know, maybe a slightly down year in the newly years. How did those teams kind of bounce back compared to, like, comparing it to the now? Like, where do you see the areas of improvement coming?
I think they'll become more rock solid on defense. There'll be less of those. I don't expect there to be those ugly, like, let me find one kind of cherry picking on the fly right now. Like, I'm going to use this one as an example. Like, the Northern Colorado loss to and at home, and like the home, like the February 22nd, where they lost their 57-38. I don't think we'll see those right now. I think we'll in year two, as Carrie Amy gets her players, as she gets her molding on this program, if you will, kind of like getting away from the run John Newley, like three-point huck it if you got, huck it if you're open kind of plays, I think we'll start seeing more, like we'll start seeing more of the, like the close, like 4-point, 5-point, 6-point losses here and there, where it's a little, where it's, things are a lot more closer, not as like 20, that those like spread kind of 10-15 point losses.
Yeah, and to hit on kind of what Jason was saying, he asked, what positions do we need to fill for next year, the next 2 years? I think the spots, really it's bigs and guards both.
Yeah.
But I think the guard's going to be the more pivotal one right away.
I agree with you on that. Like, it's going to be hard to kind of replace someone like Sarah Schmidt, for example, with like the 1 year. I wish we could have had her for longer. Kind of had more kind of help kind of be a guide. I think Ashlyn can kind of help a little bit with that, being that she's really great on defense. She might be able to kind of take up a little bit of the Amelie Longer role a little bit, but we're at the wait until see who else they get this year. I think the other big one they need to kind of get is I think another kind of offensive scorer or another Hope Butera type player to kind of help with things. Now, I will say I'm committing myself to this right now on the show. I will do a recruiting episode of like all the commits once the later signing period is done. Kind of just to go on, do it all at once, not two spread out shows of four players and one player. I think some of the players they have, kind of quick thing is they have some players coming in, but I think the big ones for me are like another kind of Kenny Johnson score, and another big would be another one, but that's just me.
I think the guard is going to be very important. So we had Sarah Schmidt, who was more of a scorer than the other guards on the team. But when you kind of look at it, they don't really have like a scoring first guard on the team. If you're looking towards next year, you lose Sarah Schmidt. And other than that, like, Ashlyn's a good shooter, but she's not necessarily like an offensive facilitator.
3 and D.
Yeah. Very, very kind of 3 and D. Aspen hasn't shown a ton on the offensive side of the ball. And then you have Ashley Phillips, who's listed as a guard, but she plays more like kind of a wing. And she is a good driver, but she's not necessarily, you know, a facilitator. And so I wonder if there's going to be more, if it's one of the young players that's coming up, or if it's a, you know, a transfer or what, kind of more of maybe more of a shoot or even a pass first guard that's going to be more of a facilitator for this team. Because like a player like Amelie Langer, she was definitely more of a defensive player, and she wasn't kind of a scorer.
Yeah, having watched her courtside, she was way more comfortable on offense, not on defense, mm-hmm. than she was handling the ball on offense. Because like when they'd get to we've kind of talked about with like Martin's in the Discord, patreon.com/tubsofthclub, to get down to like the five, when you get down to the shot clock where it's like under five seconds on the shot clock, her shots would not go in. It just kind of, it would be rushed and kind of like looking around where to go. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's not a drag on her. It's where we've kind of seen where there's a little more comfortability with her. It's on defense, and she can just lock down and get the steal and get it back to Sarah Schmidt or Kennedy Johnson to go make those shots.
Yeah. I think they just kind of similar to the men's team. They need a guard that can score off the dribble. Cause I think that felt like what they were really missing last year is they didn't have the capability to like get open looks consistently. It is what it kind of felt like. It felt like they got a little stagnant on offense. And I don't know if that's a scheme thing or if that's more of a personnel thing or what exactly that is. But if you get someone that is a little bit better of a, you know, better ball handler and more of a shooter off the dribble, like Sherry Schmidt was a good ball handler, and she was able to drive pretty effectively towards the end of the year. But I don't know if that was necessarily who she's been her whole career. And so getting someone that's more of a, I guess the comparison that comes to my mind right away is a Rosa Smith, the freshman from last year. Someone like that, kind of a ball handler that can score off the dribble, that can make those tough looks when you're isolated one-on-one and you have to shoot a three over someone that can hit those a little more consistently. And I don't know if that's a transfer, if that's a freshman or what, but that, I think that's kind of what this team is missing this year, as well as a player like Hope who can go rebound the ball more consistently. Those are the two areas where they really need to improve is offensively, just scoring points, and rebounding the ball. And I think one that will come with, you know, more development of these young players, but also I think a regular recruiting cycle will be huge, getting, you know, not having to rely on kind of not everyone's scraps is not like the right term for it. But by the time that Coach Amy was hired, a lot of people had already signed mm-hmm. or whatever. And so
not meant to be like a drag on the staff or anything. Like they, as just a fan and kind of an observer of the team, it seemed like out of all the people, like the signing, like the portal players that Idaho brought in, like Idaho hit on a lot of them, and you're going to have to do that. And Idaho got lucky this round. They might not be as lucky next round, but Carrie, Amy, and the staff were able to hit home runs with all the players they got this year through the portal.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And if let's just kind of go through some of the overall stats this year. Kennedy Johnson led the team in scoring. She was averaging just shy of 16 points a game. She was, I believe, number two or number three in the conference in scoring in conference play. Then, you know, Looking, Asha Phillips was averaging just shy of 10 points a game. Sarah Schmidt averaging just shy of 9 a game. Sarah Brand's just shy of 6 or just shy of 7. You know, there wasn't, when you look at some of the good teams, they have two or like 3 to 4 players right up there in that double figure range. And we just didn't have that offensive production overall that some of the, you know, the best teams in the league had, because Hope Butera was that second player averaging double figures. And so it ended up kind of, we had one player in double figures and then the rest, and it was Kennedy Johnson.
Yeah. Patrick already lost my place. You're going to have to stay held for a second. Sorry.
No, you're okay.
Tuesday shows.
Yeah. It's all right. It's rough. And I think I'm sick and he's just getting off work. So we're a little bit unorganized, but what's new?
I don't know if maybe this is the right term to kind of start wrapping it up just because it kind of feels natural right now. But comparing, kind of talking like the last kind of before the season, this might be asking you this question, Patrick. Before the season, like if it was, let me look at the date now. If I asked you on November 6th, 2023, how the season was going to go, like, would you, if I told you they would go 15 and 16 and get a number, say be 6 in the Big Sky Conference after the regular season, would you take that like for a first year carry Amy, or would you have expected more?
No, I 100% would have taken that first round bye in year one. That's excellent. I think the not concerning thing, but there wasn't a ton of youth on the team. It was a lot of transfers in. And so when you're looking forward, a lot of the times with you know, a first-year coach, typically you have a lot of youth coming in and stuff like that. We don't have that yet. But I think the normal recruitment cycle will definitely help supplement that with more, you know, young players. Because I think the only freshman I can remember playing is Aspen Caldwell. And if I'm
– Yeah, she was the only one that played – she's the only one that – of the two that signed that were from the newly signing period in late November, Aspen was the only one that played. Madeline Muniz, if I'm saying that right, or Munez, did not play at all. She redshirted.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think a lot of, you know, like Jason's saying here, I think a lot of it was the coaching change timing that made things hard, and it made it so that we kind of had to put a lot of that load on these transfers. And, you know, I think looking forward, there'll be a lot more youth and more scorers overall that'll be able to supplement this kind of foundation of good defense that Amy mm-hmm. kind of had this year.
And I'm not, like, I'm kind of, and I'm not a drag on newly. I'm kind of more, I wouldn't say excited. I'm kind of, at least it's kind of nice to see a coach that will use the red shirts and make, to kind of let certain players sit and learn. I know John Newley had his way and it worked for quite a while, but there were times where it's like you'd have these freshmen that would just play in like 5, 6, 7 games and kind of waste the red shirt, but let them learn under the system and get that for a year. And I know, again, I'll talk about this in another episode, but kind of they are sometimes like those players needed it, and it might work out well. Like you have Madeline, and I don't know about Georgia, but I knew no Madeline redshirted for sure. But I think it'll work out, I think.
Yeah, I agreed. I think the future is bright. I think Carrie Amy's a good coach, and we'll see. Being able to get a 6th seed this year with almost one of the worst offenses, just total projection wise, in the whole conference. Idaho was number 9 in the conference in total offense, just ahead of Portland State, who was 1-18 in conference play, or what is it? 3-15.
3-15. Yeah, play. So, it wasn't good, but like they're. Idaho's defense kind of held them in a lot of the stuff.
Their defense.
Speaking of bright spots, because we've forgotten this a long time, I need to get this up now. Produced on the fly. If you are looking for a great all-inclusive week-long vacation, don't look past your backyard. Hughes River Expedition has been Vandal-owned and operated since 1976, and are ready to take you on the vacation of a lifetime. Enjoy a multi-trip down the Middle Fork of the Salmon, the main Salmon River of no return. the Salmon River Canyons, or the Selway. Check out special trips to like one to see the Perseid meteor shower. Camp on pristine beaches. Run amazing whitewater, hike scenic trails, spot wildlife, soak in beautiful natural hot springs, and fish some of the most remote stretches of river in the country. You just bring your clothes and let HRE handle the rest. Grab a paddle, catch dinner, and ride the bull all throughout the Gem State. Call now at 406-540-4450 or check them out at HughesRiver.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, it... I don't know what else to say like now, but kind of.
I think the overarching theme is
there's a lot to look forward to.
There's a lot to look forward to. There's a lot, just like, need a little more scoring.
Yeah, there is a lot to look forward to. They've done, like, I think I didn't say, but like I said, I kind of, for the media tubs, media production stuff, picked them as six, but I'm going to be honest. I was kind of maybe just, there might've been a little homerism in that pick, but there's still a lot to look forward to. Like I just pick our favorite Lewiston Tribune writer. Like, the women's team is on the right track, I believe. It just takes some time for things to get going, and I think once year two rolls around and late in the beginning of November, I think this team will look different than what we all think they're gonna look like right now.
Yeah, I expect this team to be better next year for sure.
Patrick, any final thoughts before we wrap this episode up?
No, I don't really have a ton. I just think, you know, this women's team is they're fun to watch, mm-hmm. even though they weren't the best offensive team in terms of numbers wise this year.
It was it was a 180 from last year, but it was kind of a nice change of path. It was kind of a nice palate cleanser to see a more defensive oriented team wearing Idaho colors as opposed to offense guns blazing.
And I think the offense will be coming with the young talent that comes with a full recruiting cycle. Grade the season. That's what Brian says. What would you grade the season, Martin?
Grade the season. I'm going to, as Professor Marceau would say, I'm going to say B+.
Yeah.
Kind of a little bit above what I would be honest, a little bit more than I was probably expecting myself, but like not like A. I would be is like a playoff. It was to be a tournament win and a tournament win. But again, would have bumped it up to an A.
I think a B is right around where I would say. I think if you ask me this right after their first two wins in conference play pre Hope injury, this would be a little bit disappointing because, you know, with Hope, that team looks like a team that could be a top, you know, four or five team in the conference at least. And without Hope, they just didn't quite have, there's just a piece missing is what it kind of felt like. And so, you know, looking at it as a whole, I would say solid B. It's year one. We had some tough injuries. One of the best players on the team got injured. There's some bright spots. There's a player like Kennedy Johnson that, you know, in this area, you never know, but should be returning. And, you know, there's a lot of spots for young players to come in and succeed. More of Coach Amy's young players coming in and succeeding in the future.
Oh, yes. With that, it's time to play it out with the favorite band. I will not play the Patrick's favorite clip on this show.
Yes.
Go Vandals.
No. Vandals.